This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Diana Furtscott-Roth. She's a former chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor. She also served as chief of staff to President Bush 43's Council of Economic Advisors. She's also currently an adjunct fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a contributing editor for RealClearMarkets.com. She has recently written for the Manhattan Institute what she considers the myths and benefits as it pertains to a possible government shutdown. And Diana, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's always great to be with you, Greg. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. Well, we see both parties right now saying that neither of them wants a government shutdown, but it may be inevitable because they believe the other side essentially wants one or is unwilling to compromise in ways that they deem reasonable. So both sides seem prepared for this. What exactly will be the impact short term and even over a couple of weeks or more if, in fact, this happens?
Well, the two sides are only $5 billion apart. Democrats have agreed to $34 billion in cuts for the rest of this fiscal year. This is cuts from last year's budget. Speaker Boehner has proposed $39 billion, which is down from $61 billion that he wanted. So it's very possible that they can get together as adults and find where to cut this $5 billion or how to compromise. But if not, I don't think there is going to be very much effect outside Washington. Washington, of course, is almost a one-industry town. There could be 800,000 workers laid off. But actually, some of them are looking forward to a few extra days of paid vacation, which is what's happened last time the government shut down in 1995 and in the mid-1980s. There were a few government shutdowns. I remember them myself. I was considered an essential employee, so I went to work on President Reagan's Council of Economic Advisers staff.
And Diana, just to get a little bit of clarity on what you mentioned before with the $5 billion in difference, you have a lot of congressional Republicans saying those Democratic numbers aren't legitimate because they're planning to reduce spending based on increases that never happened from previous budgets. So are we really $5 billion apart, or is it gimmicks, as the Republicans like to say?
Well, we are $5 billion apart. This is spending from the prior year. If we were to look on it as spending from the president's proposed budget, then John Boehner has asked for $100 billion in cuts. So it would be $100 billion from what President Obama has proposed. However, I'm not familiar with the precise details of whether these $5 billion are cuts from FY 2010 or cuts from the president's proposed budget. If, in fact, they are cuts from the president's proposed budget, which was much higher, then, of course, more cuts would be needed. But the headline news is that Speaker Boehner has agreed to $39 billion of cuts, and the Democrats have agreed to $34 billion of cuts.
We're talking with Diana Furtscott-Roth. And Diana, you recently wrote for the Manhattan Institute that those who think that they might get their way, the more likely there is a government shutdown because most people don't want one and that the other side would be more willing to compromise, you consider that flawed logic. Explain why.
I think that there are definitely myths of a government shutdown. It's flawed logic because the government doesn't cease to function. Essential services will continue, but some functions might stop for a few days. Another myth is that government employees who are laid off don't get paid, but as I mentioned before, they've been paid in the past. Social Security, Medicare, food stamps, veterans' hospitals, airports, courts, they all continue to function. The military will continue to function even though some paychecks might be delayed. I'm not minimizing the inconvenience of delayed paychecks. When you're on a limited budget, as all of us are, and you have to pay a mortgage, not having a paycheck is a gross inconvenience, to say the least. But this affects government employees for the rest of the country, government employees excepted. They probably will not notice a difference.
Assuming it's not a real long shutdown, if there even is a shutdown, you mentioned that the pay is most likely to be retroactive based on recent history. You mentioned that the military and our fighting men and women won't really be at risk, even though that's been bandied about here in the last few days. So in the end, what's the real downside if it just lasts a couple of weeks here? It seems like any minor inconveniences would be easily rectified, assuming that people have a little bit of a nest egg to fall back on while those weeks of the shutdown took place.
Well, I don't really think that there is that much of a downside. And I think it would give us an opportunity to identify areas where the private sector could step in. For example, the Cherry Blossom Parade here in Washington, D.C. is scheduled for Saturday. The National Park Service has issued the permits. This parade could go on with the organizers hiring private security guards and cleanup crews for trash, but the National Park Service refuses to let it go on. Similarly, trash collection in the District of Columbia is going to be affected, even though technically it doesn't have to be. What's happening is that the opponents of a shutdown are trying to make it worse than it could otherwise be. But I think that it would give us an opportunity to show how the private sector can step in and fulfill some of these functions.
Diana, you mentioned that you were working in Washington or even essential personnel during some of the more recent government shutdowns. When a lot of people look back at the 1995-1996 government shutdown, the conventional wisdom, whether that's completely accurate or not, is that President Clinton won and the new congressional Republican majority lost. As you look back at that situation and the one in the 1980s, usually it's a situation of clashing ideologies, clashing fiscal priorities. But in the end, does one side usually score a significant victory, or do they just somehow come to a grudging compromise, and then the battle just continues from there?
Well, my impression is that President Reagan, and that was a shutdown I was involved in, where I was considered essential personnel, that was considered a win for President Reagan. Congress then put in the Graham-Rudman-Hollings spending limits, which did work for a few years, even though now, of course, they have been abandoned. I think that everyone generally agrees that when the government shut down during President Clinton's administration, that was a win for him and not for the Republicans. On the other hand, I think that that was good for the whole country because spending afterwards was lower than it would have been otherwise. President Clinton did not get as much spending as he's asked for. Therefore, he is credited with the budget surplus that resulted at the end of the 1990s. Whereas if there hadn't been the big budget battle, we would have probably continued with deficits, and the Republican Congress should be given credit for that. What will be interesting is to see the results of this shutdown on two big battles that are coming ahead. One is increasing the debt ceiling. Republicans, if they do want to extend the debt ceiling, want to do it only with conditions involving substantial cuts in budget reform. The next is the 2012 budget, which is what, of course, this Congress is supposed to be working on. And the House Budget Committee Chairman Paul Ryan has just brought out a budget cutting $6 trillion over the next 10 years.
Very interesting. You're right. Those are the two major debates to come, and we'll see if fight over the current fiscal year bleeds into some of those fights or whether we'll just have a little bit of time to brace for them. Diana, always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much. And I hope to speak to you during the debt ceiling fight and during the 2012 budget fight, too.
We look forward to it. Diana Furtscott-Roth is an adjunct fellow at the Manhattan Institute, a contributing editor to RealClearMarkets.com. During the George W. Bush administration, she served as chief economist in the U.S. Department of Labor and also as the president's chief of staff for his Council of Economic Advisors. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.